Morning, church.
Good morning.
Great. Wonderful. Since we came back from church camp, do you all feel different? Yeah, we had a wonderful time, right? Our fellowship and really blessed by the teaching by Reverend Dr. Malcolm Tan. All right. Anyway, before we come before the Word of God, let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your grace in our lives. And today we sit at your feet. We come to church. We worship you and we seek your face. Holy Spirit, be among us. Teach us, convict us, reveal unto us what you want. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, today I'll be preaching from the gospel passage, Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. And I've entitled the sermon, All It Takes Is One More. So just a quick introduction to this passage. This is a passage where we see Jesus casting out the legion of demons into pigs. So it's quite a familiar passage if you've been around in church settings for a period of time. Okay, and even more interesting was right before this portion of scripture, okay, it is an even more familiar passage and popular passage. Anyone want to make a guess? Never mind. Okay, it is the famous account where Jesus calmed the storm. Okay, so he was on the Sea of Galilee, and this is where, you know, the disciples and Jesus met a huge storm, and then, of course, Jesus stood up, he rebuked the winds and waves, and everything became calm. So right before this, where Jesus met this demon-possessed guy, he encountered a storm. Okay, and I just think it's just wonderful as you read the Bible, you really see, you read the Gospels, you just see the person of Jesus, and you see that he's always someone that is moving with the Spirit, very confident, but always bringing order to chaos. He's always bringing peace to commotion, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. So I have 3 points for you, and the first point is this. There we go. All right. First point is this. Jesus goes all out for one. Today, you'll be seeing the number one a lot. I'll be repeating that. I don't know, as I was preparing for this passage, this teaching today, you know, number one just seemed to be repeated over and over again. Anyway, Jesus goes all out for one. Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee despite a stormy encounter. And Jesus, knowing all things, knows that he would face a stormy encounter. But he didn't set him back. He crossed the Sea of Galilee just to meet this man. Why? How do we know that? Because later on, if you saw in the passage, after he crossed the Sea of Galilee, he cast out the demons, immediately he went back. Okay, so his only objective really was to meet this man. Luke chapter 8, verse 22 shows us this. Okay, so Luke 8:22. One day he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, let us go across to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and set out. One day, a very random day, but it was for a purpose. We must understand how Jesus' heart works. You see, Jesus is the reflection of God, the best example that we have of God. And so if we want to understand God's heart, all we need to do is look at Jesus and you get the best sample ever. One of Jesus' biggest teachings or parables is the idea of leaving the 99 for one. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, Jesus was teaching through a parable, and one of the things came up, it says this, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? Jesus' heart was always for that one lost sheep. He is always intentional. No amount of inconvenience, roadblocks can stop him from getting to who he needs to. How did Jesus get to us? This is not working, man. How did Jesus get to us? Not even the inconvenience of a brutal death on the cross could stop our Lord from accomplishing his mission. His mission for forgiveness of sins, for dying on the cross, for taking all the sins of the world upon himself and paying the price so that we might have a chance at salvation, at redemption, at a relationship with God. So the challenge here is that will we be as Christ for that one other person maybe? You know, in some ways, all of us seated here today stand on the shoulders of someone who took up an inconvenience in their life to bring you the good news of Jesus, to share with you the gospel, to invite us to Alpha or CIQ or whatever we have out there. The person took on an inconvenience of potentially offending people, potentially risking his reputation to bring you that invitation or to share the gospel of Christ. Others have crossed oceans to come to Singapore just to preach and to share the gospel of Christ, of which some of us were saved through those evangelistic rallies. Now, an inconvenience should not stop an inspired mission. Although, of course, it is easier said than done. Jesus knew the task of accomplishing his mission on earth must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that is why he gave his Holy Spirit to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We look at Jesus as our perfect example, and he has given us his Spirit to be his witnesses. So let us ask the Holy Spirit to empower us afresh each and every day so that we can see things through his eyes. Intentionality. What does that mean? A simple Google came up with a definition that we are basically intentionality means something done on purpose. In this context, something done for the purpose of reaching out for that someone. And it makes a difference. Now, being intentional might come in many shapes and forms. As I was reflecting on this, sometimes it might be as simple as showing up as a Christian. Now, one of my most memorable evangelistic, in inverted commas, opportunities was with two old colleagues over a bottle of wine. And of course, you know, they knew I was Christian. And in those days, in the Big Four, you know, it was tough days. And we bonded very much over the difficult times that we had. So we've managed to build quite a good relationship over the many months of working on a very difficult client and difficult project. And while celebrating the end of a project, we chatted over a bottle of wine. How Anglican. And they started to ask about the meaning of life and Christianity. And of course, when people ask about meaning of life, Christians, we have the answer. Amen. Hallelujah. So I took the opportunity to share with them that God is love, to their surprise. Well, none of them accepted Christ that day, but at least the gospel was sown in their hearts. Now, how did I know? Because one of them told me, "Hey, can I just call you on my deathbed or not?" I said, "Of course, call me." You see, but being intentional, maybe for many of us, is just about showing up. Showing up not just as us, but letting people know that we are Christians. We build connections. And eventually finding the chance to present the gospel in a manner that can be accepted, not in a hostile manner. Intentionality. Why? The purpose in our mind is for kingdom work. Even though we are in the office, even though we are in the schools, right? Our mind is always wondering, how can I bring Christ to someone else? And the second point is this, that hardened hearts need that one. Now, Jesus had delivered that man from being possessed by a legion of demons. It was obvious, right? So shouldn't there be rejoicing, thanksgiving, The people had, however, a very interesting reaction that we might not expect. Verses 34 to 37, we read from there, it says, when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus, and they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Funny, right? Before that, they were not afraid. Now they are afraid. 36, and those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, you know, for they were seized with great fear. So funny. They were afraid after Jesus performed a tremendous miracle. He delivered someone, and now this person is in his right mind, but they were afraid of Jesus. They chased Jesus away. Now, sitting here reading that, you might wonder, you know, why? How could it be? Oh, because often, as Christians, we see things in a certain way. For us, we would be rejoicing when someone gets delivered, right? When someone comes to Christ, hallelujah! At baptism, we rejoice with all of heaven and the angels and all the church, right? Someone came to Christ. But as I was considering why the people of this area had this kind of funny reaction, I realized that our Christian lens cannot be applied to those whose hearts have not yet been opened to the Lord's work. One very simple example, close to home, is for the traditional Chinese families, of which many of us come from. When one of the children comes to Christ, and then they want to get baptized, to them, it is like a loss, almost a betrayal. You are unfilial. It means that the child will not perform his or her duties at a funeral setting, for example. It's actually quite a huge blow. So of course they would resist, and of course there might be displeasure. Of course they will not react like how a Christian would react. Hallelujah, rejoice. However, the call here for us is that will we still stand firm in our faith, in the Lord and His promises, in the power of the cross, the blood of Jesus for forgiveness of sins, that we never even fear death. In the face of rejection and persecution, can we stand firm? Why do we need to stand firm? How I view it is because us as individuals, we might actually be other people's only shot or chance to hear the gospel of Jesus. That is why we must stand firm. You might be that one person, the only person that they will ever meet that knows Jesus. So, I want to take another angle and say, let's not deprive them, even though you face rejection. Stand firm. Ask the Holy Spirit for opportunities, wisdom, how to be gentle yet firm about the truth that we have in Jesus Christ and to share boldly. Amen. Recently at my workplace, I realized just how many people have never heard the Christian's worldview. I had lunch with four different people in the last 3 weeks, and to my surprise, three of them have never heard about creation, sin, Adam and Eve, and eternity. Now, if you were a numbers guy, that's 75%. I must be living under a rock, like Patrick Starfish. I thought Adam and Eve was common knowledge to every single person on this island, at least. But I pray that the Lord, as I shared about eternity, how did God design life to be, I pray that it moves something in their hearts. Pray the Holy Spirit begin to work. If it's not me, someone else continue the work. You see, the man who was delivered from the demons, he sensed the rejection from the people. Verse 38 tells us this. Now the man whom the demons had gone, he begged that he might be with him, who? Jesus, right? But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your home, declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This man was delivered from being possessed. He was desperate to be with Jesus. The word here used was begged. How often do you see begging written in the Bible? Not often. He was begging Jesus, please let me follow you. Well, after all, Jesus came all the way for this man. And of course, Jesus would be accepting him, right? As a follower, as a disciple. If he stayed behind, chances are he would be all alone. It was going to be scary. Anyway, he had been alone all these past many years anyway. He's not going to be making more friends. And now even worse, you know, his healing, his miracle had shaken up the business of other people around him. It cost others 2,000 pigs. In Singapore, we don't have that many pigs, at least not in our homes. But so I had to turn to our wonderful ChatGPT and ask him, how much does 2,000 pigs cost? Now, ChatGPT did a calculation. They calculate by weight, by denarii, the currency at that point in time, they multiply by 2,000 pigs. And the total amount came up to a whopping $20 million USD. Maybe convert to Singapore, I don't know how much now. I'm not sure about the amount, but I know it was definitely not a small amount. So this guy's healing must have triggered a lot of outrage, a lot of unhappiness by the business people in the area. How in the world was he going to survive in a climate like that? No wonder he wanted to follow Jesus. However, Jesus, in his infinite wisdom and purposes, he saw an opportunity to send an evangelist to the Gentiles. Now, even in the face of impending rejection. Why? Now, I believe that Jesus knew that hardened hearts need that one person, that one testimony, that one story to reach them, to break through their hearts. Can we be that one for others? And my last point is this. Now, all it takes is one more story. Why more? Because we are all working in some water, some plant the seeds, but God causes the growth. Now, Jesus did not let that man follow him. What a contrast to the calling of the other disciples, isn't it? Peter, you know, encountered Jesus' miracle. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This guy said, let me follow you. He said, no, cannot. Now, this just shows to me that God has purposes, has different plans and unique thoughts for each and every one of us. We are unique. We are designed special. We have different gifts and talents. We are placed in different walks of life, different families, different communities. So we must seek the Lord. Listen to Him. Hear from Him. What, Lord, do you want me to do? Flow in the Spirit. And do you know that scholars widely agree that this man was the first missionary or evangelist to the Gentile world, even before Apostle Paul? Now, Jesus was the one that sent first, not Paul. Anyway, verse 39 shows us the mission given to this man. Return home and tell how much, and declare how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. The man was given a task of being a witness. What is a witness? For those that are familiar with a courtroom setting, like lawyers, you would know that a witness swears an oath to speaking the truth and only the truth. So basically, the witness's job is to tell people what he or she knows. That's it, right? Not supposed to argue any case. So that is what we are primarily called to do as Christians. Of course, we know that there's make disciples of all nations, etc. But at the essence of it, right, we are called to tell people what God has done for us. The truth of salvation. The truth of what we know. Now, for sure, at times, people will pose very difficult questions to the Christians. Okay, they will challenge the credibility of the Christian belief and our teaching. Some even question the credibility of Christ's death. But hey, if it is your own story, our own reality, for example, a healing testimony, how my heart changed from, you know, last time like that, now I am so different. Or how are you set free from addiction, bondage, your mind, worldview changed, and you are now totally at peace? It's going to be very tough for other people to invalidate your experience. You will be a very powerful witness. Mark chapter 5, Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, has a parallel account to this particular miracle that happened. It gives us more color as to what the man went on to do. Verse 19 says, "And he did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.' And he went away," verse 20, "and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled." So Captain America appeared. So Decapolis is actually the area, right? Gerasenes is one of the cities out of the 10. Deca means 10, right? So around the area. And the people were marveled. They were amazed. What a contrast to their previous reaction, chasing Jesus away and being afraid. And you see, sometimes all it takes is that one, or that one more story. Just one more. We never know when that turning point for someone would be. I share with you a story. I was at a claw machine very recently with my nephew. I'm not sure how claw machines are configured in Singapore. It's very hard to win. I suspect that they are set up in a way to make us spend minimum amount of money before the claw can actually have a proper grip strength to get that toy. Okay. So anyway, I went to that exchange booth. I paid $10 for 12 tokens. That's how they make you buy more. We went to a particular machine that he liked, and then we tried to grab the price. At my 10th coin, I was ready to walk away. We failed 10 times. It was impossible. But then since we were left with only 2 more coins, what am I going to do with the other 2 coins? We might as well spend it all trying. So I said, okay, never mind. Let's do it. Let's go. Put one more. So we put one more coin into that machine. And wow, behold, suddenly that thing like become Captain America, you know, can grab the toy. So I got the toy at the 11th try. Of course, we all jump for joy. Those that have won claw machines before, you know how it feels, right? Very, very shook, the feeling. The dopamine just rushed. Got it, but my nephew probably gained a very core memory that day. He's very happy. So now my point here is not to encourage you to go and spend money on claw machine. Don't mindlessly spend on them, only if you have to. But what I'm saying is this. Okay, just a very playful example, but we never know when that one more would be, especially when we are witnessing for Christ. One more story. Even if you rejected 10 times, will you go that one more? Persevere. Persevere with the invitation to Alpha. Persevere. You know, sometimes I read on Salt and Light, right? A lot of times we see that someone now come to Christ, they will always say, "I am very thankful for this person that have asked me repeatedly to go to their church." Have you all read these kind of testimonies? That is how powerful that one more is. Just one more, just one more. You never know when that one more will be. And we keep going even though we have experienced rejection or failure. So will we tell our story one more time? Will we try to invite someone one more time? Will we be that one more? Mark chapter 7, verse 31 tells us that where Jesus was once chased away, he was now received by the people as a healer. 31 says this, "Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis," same place. "And now they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him." We don't have many details about the ministry of that one man, but we can definitely agree that his testimony had spread and people were aware of what Jesus had done and what Jesus could do. Faith comes by hearing. Many instances where people heard about Jesus, their faith arose and they actually acted. Many instances in the gospel, one of which was Zacchaeus, the tax collector, heard about Jesus. Other person, the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, heard about Jesus and she reached out and grabbed his robe. Those that heard about Jesus, their faith arose. We don't need a stage. We just need our story. We don't need to be a theologian. We just need to be that person that was transformed by the power and love of Jesus Christ. And we'll never know when we'll be that one pivotal story in someone's journey to encountering Jesus for themselves. Will we be that one more? And I conclude. Will we be a witness that is empowered by the Holy Spirit? You never know whether you are the person's one moment, that one encounter for someone. We're all on the same side, in the same mission when we see the kingdom of God. All of us, one more, maybe that person got 10 more. And will we be a witness wherever we are? Because it might just take that one more story. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. And perhaps today for some of us here, this is your one more. Maybe the word of God, or even just being here, the Holy Spirit is talking to you, drawing you in. I want to let you know that God loves you. He never designed the world to be imperfect, but he provided the solution that is in Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, will have the sins forgiven, and have eternal life. I want to give an opportunity for anyone that has never received Jesus into your heart. In a short while, I'll lead you in a prayer, and you'll receive Jesus into your heart. And if you pray that for the first time, do share it with a Christian, and they'll be very happy to walk you through what you just prayed. All right, and then the second part, I'll pray for the rest of us, and then I will end off. Now, if that is you, you want this Jesus into your heart, repeat this prayer after me. We call this the sinner's prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I acknowledge that I am not perfect. I have done wrong. I am a sinner. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe in you that at your cross, my sins are forgiven. I want to follow you. I want to know you the rest of my life. If you pray that for the first time, do share with a Christian and allow me to pray for the rest of us. Father, I just want to thank you that your word is life and that, Lord, your spirit is moving and stirring in each and every one of us every single moment of the day. Lord, we see your face and, Lord, we just want to see your kingdom grow, that people come to know you because you are altogether wonderful and lovely and beautiful. Lord, our heart wants people to see that too. So God, may you give us the strength, the opportunity, the moments, and help us to identify them, and Holy Spirit, give us the courage and the wisdom to declare our stories to people so that we might be that one more for people, that, Lord, we partake in your mission work. And people will come to see you as Lord and Savior. Lord, give us the strength. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.